You are listening to the Developing Up Podcast.
This is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer. Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Developing Up Podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Mike Miles.
And Jake Reines.
And this is the podcast where we talk about the non-technical sides of being a developer. Today's episode, Jake, I found really interesting.
And it was actually very timely for me. Today we talked about burnout. And as it turns out, I am burnt out. Mike and I had planned to talk about this podcast for, you know, a couple weeks now. We've been doing some outlining. And we're going to actually talk about the different kinds of burnout, which I don't think most people actually know about.
Yeah, I think everyone lumps burnout into one thing where there's a couple different types of burnout.
So hopefully this overview of these burnouts will help you be able to identify, prevent it, and if need be, deal with it if you're in the situation.
So take a listen. We hope you get a lot out of it.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Doing pretty good, Jake. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little exhausted, but glad to be here.
Yeah, it's always good to be excited to record. Why are you so exhausted?
It's just been a long week. There's a lot going on. I'm super excited to record. This is actually a really good way to decompress for me. So I'm excited to be here, but it's just been a lot of hard work, lots of projects, team slightly understaffed, and just trying to get all the ducks in the row has been a little bit stressful.
So just a lot of different things coming at you at once.
Yep, all directions.
Seems to happen that way. So would you say, Jake, that you're feeling a bit burned out, perhaps?
I'm not exactly sure how to pinpoint whether or not I'm fully burnt out, but I have been told that if you have to question whether or not you're burnt out, then that might be a good sign that you are burnt out.
I agree with that. That's usually a good sign. If you're questioning it, it's probably happening to you.
Yeah, so I'm thinking maybe today it's a good topic to talk about.
Yeah, let's do it. I think having you being burned out will actually give us some good perspective to talk about burnout and what it is and causes and symptoms and how to deal with it and get through it.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the difficult parts with being burnt out is if I was to talk to someone else who is burnt out, it would be easier for me to give them advice than it is for me to take my own advice when I'm burnt out. So I'm anxious to hear advice from someone else and learn a little bit more about what happens with burnout.
Yeah, I'll do my best to offer some advice and helpfulness, or maybe you can just listen to this later on after we record it.
Yep.
And give yourself advice. So why don't we take a step back? Let's talk about what we actually mean when we say burnt out and what that means to us as developers or as managers. So our listeners get a sense of what we're talking about in this episode.
Yeah, I think that sounds good. Is it all right if I start?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
I'm ready to dive in. So with burnout, at least in the sense of being a developer for me, I've been losing sleep. I've been working a lot more hours than I would like to. I've felt frustration. I've felt short-tempered and irritable to a certain degree. I've lacked motivation. And just overall, things feel like they're kind of out of my control.
So everything you're outlining there are classic signs of being burned out and just being overworked and just pushed to the point of exhaustion. So an interesting thing, I just want to jump in there. There are actually three types of burnout. And it may be interesting to go through all the three types and figure out which one you actually are.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great.
So, and this comes from research I've done from a paper titled Coping with Stress and Types of Burnout. Explanatory Power of Different Coping Strategies. And this was done in Spain in 2014. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. Basically, the researchers found there are three types of burnout. There's phonetic burnout, which is when an individual works harder and harder to be successful up until the point of exhaustion. So they're doing more and more and just piling on top of themselves until they flat out are exhausted and they can't do anymore, physically, mentally, whatnot. Then there's under-challenged burnout, which is when you're doing monotonous, unstimulating work. You feel indifferent. You feel boredom. You feel a lack of personal development because you're not being challenged. And it's the same thing every day, just turning and turning and turning. And then there's worn-out burnout, which is when you're faced with a large amount of stuff to do and you start to feel a lot of stress, lack of control, like you can't handle everything, a lack of acknowledgement or neglect from your peers or from your managers, and you just get physically worn out with the work you're doing. So those are the three types of burnout.
So that worn out, the last one, the worn out type of burnout, I think is the one that I'm feeling right now. But I really like the way that these are kind of broken down. I've always thought of burnout, and I think most people could relate. You think of burnout as when you're just working too hard and you eventually crash and, you know, your work suffers. But I think the under-challenge style of burnout is something that often goes overlooked as a typical type of burnout too. If you're too slow at work, or if you just haven't done a good job of laying out your goals or to-do lists, you can just be kind of sitting stagnant and you get bored and you burn out with that too.
I would agree. Where up until I did this research, actually, I always just considered burnout as burnout. And I've always thought of it as that dirty little word that developers don't talk about. Some people almost take it as a badge of honor that you get burned out. It's like, oh yeah, I'm really proving my worth and I'm getting burned out. And that's a very dangerous mindset to have, or a culture to develop in an environment, in a workplace. Do we want to go through each one of these types of burnout, maybe talk about some of the signs, some of the symptoms, and some of the ways to deal with it as a manager and developer?
I think that's a good idea, because I mean, regardless of what I'm feeling right now, I think that we can all relate to each of these types of burnout, at least at some point in our careers.
Yep. So let's start with the first one. Let's start with phonetic burnout, which I actually think, from what you describe, what you're feeling, you have a little bit of phonetic burnout going on as well.
Yeah, it could be. When I heard you say phonetic burnout was described as kind of working harder and harder to be successful, I don't feel as if I'm working harder and harder to better myself, or at least I'm not struggling to do that.
Yeah, I see it more as phonetic burnout is when you're just taking more and more on your plate when you're not necessarily ready to do so. Maybe you're starting a new project and you just think you have to do everything yourself just to make it successful. And so you keep adding onto your plate before you finish things that are done. And you don't take a step back and look at how can I split up this work either in a timely fashion or with the other people on my team.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you, have you ever been in a situation where you have one of your direct reports experiencing phonetic burnout?
There's no specific instance that comes to my head, but I've definitely dealt with it. I can say for sure I've experienced phonetic burnout. And I used to be, in my earlier days as a developer, I would be that person who would just take it all the workload on to myself. I'm not sure what the cause was from that, whether it's lack of trust in my peers, or it's a sense of ego in myself that I have to prove myself and do everything myself. And it really leads to nothing good.
Yeah, no, it definitely doesn't lead to anything good. And I've actually never been in a situation where I've dealt with it with one of my direct reports, but I, like you, have dealt with it much in the same way myself. And I try to use that as a learning opportunity. And I try to explain to my direct reports that they don't necessarily need to be Superman. And Superman doesn't necessarily look like getting this project done all by yourself. It's also about being a team player. It's not about burning yourself out and working extra hours. It's about raising the flag if you think you're going to need to work extra hours. Because I think it's more beneficial for the project as a whole and the team that the project is associated with to have everyone working at, you know, 100% capacity and not burning hot.
I agree. And it makes me think of a situation actually with a direct report that I can remember on a project. They really had this new role on this project. They wanted to prove themselves. And as a manager, I didn't keep close enough eye on it. They were staying till hours after the office closed every night, just taking on more and more of the project and working on it themselves and not raising their hand and asking for help. And that's something as a developer, it's important to learn to be able to ask for help, I think. A lot of developers, one, we're naturally inclined to be introverts and also problem solvers. So we don't necessarily want to ask for help and almost think of it as a sign of weakness. At least that's how I used to think of it. And it's hard to get over that, but it leads to this sort of phonetic burnout because someone's going to say, hey, can you do this as well? And you're like, yeah, I can do that. And you just pile it onto your back, you know, add another thing. And it's dangerous for the whole team and for the project and for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. The key takeaway there is that no matter how much trouble you think you're saving someone else, no matter how much you think you're saving the project, you're actually working against yourself and your team.
Yeah. It's better to ask for help and distribute the load than to be quiet and suffer. I would say one last thing with phonetic burnout. From the point of a manager, it's probably the type of burnout that's hardest to recognize in other people. You have to studiously view and monitor what your direct reports are doing. And they may be on different projects that you are not on, so you don't have as much insight into it. So if you are a manager of developers, I take it upon myself to follow this. Check in on the projects, not necessarily with that developer themselves, though in a one-on-one, that might be a good thing to ask about their workload, but with others involved on the project and just ask, how's it going? How do you think everyone's doing on the project? And try to get that information without directly calling it out and just keeping an eye on it. Very important thing to do as a manager.
Yeah. What I try to do is when I have my one-on-ones with my direct reports, I ask them obviously what projects they're working on, or I'll have an idea of what they're working on. I'll ask them what their favorite aspects of the project they're working on, or, you know, what feature they're working on that they're having a lot of fun with. And I'll also ask them if there are any really frustrating aspects of the project. And I like to think that that feels like an invitation for them to speak out, even if they hadn't planned to bring it up themselves.
Let me flip that around real quick. As a direct report yourself, and if your manager asks you those types of questions, how do you respond? Do you get some sense that you're burned out from your answers?
Yeah, I think I do. I'm probably overdue for one of those conversations. Again, I am not always the best at taking my own advice, particularly when it is coming to burnout. But I think if I had to look at myself from an outside perspective, then yes.
So I would say that's a great takeaway for anyone listening who's a developer who may not have a manager. Taking time, and we'll get to one-on-ones and how you do one-on-one with yourself in a future episode, I bet. Take the time to ask yourself, what are you excited about on a current project that you're working on, and what's bothering you about it? Like, ask those questions out loud to yourself and answer them out loud. You may look like you're crazy, do it in a room alone, but you get a sense by hearing it out loud and not just thinking about it. It's going to stick more, and you're going to start to recognize if you're being burned out by taking way too much on at one time.
And I'd have to imagine that's probably relieving too.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely is. It's very helpful. You know what? This would be great to also have an episode about rubber duck developing and using that. So I'll say real quick, do you know what rubber duck developing
is? No, I have no idea what this is.
Okay. It's also known as a cardboard developer. The idea is typically you get a rubber duck, place it on your desk, wherever. If you are stuck on a problem, you explain your code out loud to the rubber duck. Because what happens is as you're talking about it out loud, you're going to realize what's going on and what's wrong and what doesn't seem right. You were just looking at the code and staring at it, you may not recognize that. And the same thing works with if you are feeling like you have way too much to do and you're getting exhausted and you don't know why, talk out loud to your rubber duck and say, this is what I'm trying to accomplish, and get a sense of how much you are taking on at one time.
Could I do this with a cactus? I have a cactus on my desk.
You could do some cactusing. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I'm going to let my team know so they don't think I've lost my mind, but I actually really like this.
It was really good. I actually have a rubber duck on my desk, if you haven't noticed.
I have not noticed.
Yeah. So
I might have to borrow him sometime.
Yeah. So let's recap phonetic burnout real quick. Signs of phonetic burnout: feeling exhausted, you're feeling like you have way too much you have to do. From an outside perspective, maybe you notice someone is taking on more and more work than they should.
To recap phonetic burnout, signs are working harder and harder to achieve success until the point of exhaustion, not necessarily knowing when to, you know, raise your hand and ask for help, which there's nothing wrong with.
Not at all.
That's the key to getting out of phonetic burnout, is to let someone know and allow them to help you.
And I would say the number one thing you do to prevent phonetic burnout is raise your hand as soon as you start to feel stressed out and exhausted. Like, or before that point, just raise your hand, ask for help, work with your team or whomever you have to distribute the load and the work that has to be done.
Bam. Exactly. That's going to save the project, and it's going to save your team, and it's going to save you a lot less stress down the line.
So let's move on to under-challenge burnout.
I think under-challenge burnout is the most overlooked of the burnouts. As I mentioned earlier, we think of burnout as being extremely stressed, having no motivation, just feeling like we're out of control. And I think under-challenge burnout is the kind of burnout that may sneak up on you. It may be the silent killer of the three.
And I also think because of that reason, it's probably the most dangerous form of burnout for developers and for managers.
Right, because it's kind of destructive in a sense.
It definitely is. And I have experienced this as a manager, of seeing my direct reports being under challenged for a long amount of time, longer than I would have liked. And it leads to them questioning, is this the right job for them? Should they be doing something else? Which is always good questions to ask, but for the wrong reasons they're asking that, because they're being under challenged and they may look to go other places.
I totally agree. And I think one thing that's kind of interesting to look at is that it can happen in seasons. So for example, in the summer, at least at our agency, we tend to get a lot lighter. And whether it be people going on vacation, clients going on vacation, you know, work getting pushed off, things just happen to be a little bit slower. And I think that if there was one time that we as a team experience under challenge burnout, it's during that time. Now, on the contrary, when the end of the year approaches and companies are trying to get rid of the remainder of their annual budget, that's when a lot of work hits. That can actually cause phonetic or worn out burnout, which we'll get to in a little bit. But just something to kind of keep in mind, I know that I feel a little bit more of the under challenge burnout in the summer.
Yeah, I've seen that happen. I mean, we work at the same agency, even on different teams, though, it happens on both teams.
Yeah, and I think that you can preemptively prevent that if you take a look at what you're working on now, what you were working on 6 months ago, and perhaps what you're going to be working on the next couple of months, and compare the actual level of stress. A little stress can be healthy. When there's no stress, you might not be challenging yourself appropriately. So it's really important to find a good balance between the two.
Yes, and it can be hard when you're in a situation where you're looking for those outside projects to bring you those challenges. As an individual, if you start to recognize you're being under-challenged, you need to take some personal responsibility to find new ways to challenge yourself. And there's actually an interesting phrase, I forget who said it, but it goes something like, we control 50% of everything that happens to us. So it's not that we can control the outside factors that influence us or happen to us, but we control how we react to them. So if you find yourself in a situation where you're being under-challenged and starting to burn out with lack of challenges at the current work you're doing, flipping your mindset and finding new ways to challenge yourself. More than likely, you are not the number one expert in your area of study, the code you use, the frameworks you use. So finding that downtime that you have for projects to really work on personal development and find that one piece that you're not that comfortable with and challenge yourself to work on a project to learn a new piece of that functionality. I think it's a good way to prevent an under-challenged burnout.
I totally agree. I think you could ask yourself right now, what are you working on that is challenging, and what are your goals, and are you working towards them?
Goals is always a good thing to work on. If you don't have a full plate of things to accomplish and you have some of that downtime, always working on goals that you've hopefully set for yourself. If you need a refresher on how to establish goals, we have a great episode about it that we recorded a while ago. You should check it out. But work on your goals every day, and that should keep yourself challenged in preventing under-challenged burnout.
Right, and I think the important takeaway here is to always have something that you're working towards and constantly check on yourself to make sure that you are not falling into under-challenged burnout, because it's actually easy to prevent, but it's just kind of a silent killer. If you're aware of it, then it's easy to avoid.
So I would say, and I've done this myself when I've been under-challenged, there are certain questions you can stop and ask yourself. Are you feeling indifferent about the work you're doing? Are you feeling bored with the work you're doing? Do you feel like it's the same thing day in, day out? If you start to feel that way, ask yourself, why do you think you feel this way? What's going on? You may come to the conclusion you're not getting challenged. You are, in fact, doing the same thing. So start to think about, how can I do something different to challenge myself? Am I working towards my goals? Am I looking to get better in my area of expertise?
And I think there's no shame in going to your manager and explaining to them that you're feeling a little under-challenged and that you would like to kind of step up your game and do harder work. Even if the pipeline is really slow right now, there's always a challenge that someone can give you. And I know that when I'm working with my team, particularly in times when we are slow, I will try to find professional development steps that my team can take. Sometimes that's doing an online course, and I think online courses are great, but they're extremely linear and they don't necessarily come with a challenge. They're just a very, very clear roadmap. So I have a number of code challenges that I've done in the past that I found to be a lot of fun. I found to be really challenging, and as a result, have made me a better programmer. So I like to have those in my back pocket in case my team is slow.
Yeah, I think that's great. You know, you have that prepared for when your direct reports come and talk to you or tell you that they're feeling under challenge. And that's a very important thing as a developer. As you just said, if you have a manager, you're feeling under challenged, let them know. Don't be quiet about it. The sooner you can let someone know you're being under challenged, the more they can do to help you. I've seen the same thing happen with some of my direct reports. I had a situation actually where it went on longer than I would have liked. As a manager, I tried to provide the direct report with more challenges and things that were outside of project work to try new technologies that I knew they were interested in and just to learn a lot more. Fortunately, in that situation, it wasn't enough. And you know, they ended up moving on to something that was more challenging to them or more rewarding to them in that situation. And that can happen. And as a manager, you have to learn to deal with that. And as a developer, you have to learn to recognize that as well.
Right. No, I think that's a great point. So let's cover under challenge burnout really quick again. We'll do an overview and then we'll move on to worn-out.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So under challenge burnout, you know, when you're in monotonous or unstimulating conditions, and that can lead to boredom, it can lead to lack of a personal development. And, you know, I think as Mike described really well, it's probably one of the most dangerous types of burnout.
And in dealing with under challenge burnout, you know, be sure to talk to your manager and tell them, let them know you're feeling under challenged and that you feel like you're not working towards something more or being challenged enough, and see what they can do to find additional work for you to do and additional challenges. And on top of that, to prevent under challenged burnout, when you're starting to feel understimulated or indifferent or bored, change your viewpoint and see what you can work on towards your goals or towards personal development, and keep that in your head every day.
It's always important to have a challenge. That would be my biggest recommendation. Just make sure that there is something challenging you in a positive way that is going to help inspire your growth.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to worn out burnout.
That's and a, I think this
say
is
that 10 times fast.
Yeah. I'm surprised we've been able to say it as many times as we have. Worn out burnout is the one that most people will recognize as quote unquote burnout. It's, at least internally, it's the one that we probably most deal with. And it's when you're faced with a large amount of stress, you feel like you have a lack of control of what you can do, a lack of acknowledgement, and possibly neglect from your peers, from your management, or from the team you're working with.
Right. I think it's common in every industry, but particularly in our industry of development, there are always projects that are coming and going. There are projects that are in a state of maintenance that need to get done, new features to be implemented, timelines to meet, deadlines to meet, deadlines getting pushed out and impacting other projects. There are just a lot of moving pieces. And I think it's easy to kind of fall into the trap of worn out burnout, like I have myself.
I'd say one of the ways to start dealing with worn out burnout is if you're starting to feel like you have a large amount of stress or not as much control over the tasks you have to complete, that's again a sign to raise your hand and ask for help. And there's nothing wrong with asking for help. It's very important. So actually, one of the things on projects that I've been on that's been implemented to help prevent actually worn out burnout is the 20-minute rule for problems. And this is, if you're stuck on a problem for more than 20 minutes, raise your hand, ask the other team members for help, and collaborate with team members.
Now, in a situation like that, how often do people do that?
If it's a new team who are just starting to do it, I think at the beginning of a project, it doesn't happen as much. But as the project progresses and people see the benefits of doing that, it happens a lot. I do it a lot now, or at least I try to. I may go to 30 minutes because I'm a little stubborn, but it definitely helps, and the team does that. And a good thing with that is that it leads to cross-knowledgement and knowledge sharing.
I think it's also really great that you are someone who is raising problems of your own, even though you're the leader. I think it encourages other people who may not be as confident in raising their hands to raise their hands. And as a result, creates a much more harmonious team dialogue.
Yeah. I mean, lead by example, whether you're a lead developer or a manager, showing that you're not afraid to ask for help encourages your team not to be afraid to ask for help. And with that, because with worn out burnout, one of the symptoms of is feeling lack of control. And as a manager, to prevent that with your, you know, direct reports or the people on your team, if you're a dev lead, not being the problem solver for every problem, giving people those challenges can help prevent worn out burnout as well as under challenged burnout. So not thinking you're the one who has to solve all the problems, knowing that you don't have to and that you can distribute that load to others and give them the chance to solve those problems.
Right. And I think beyond asking your manager for help, I think it's also okay to ask one of your peers for help too. Or if you have people under you, to help delegate those tasks. I know that I oftentimes am guilty of trying to take on too much of the workload myself because I just am a little bit of a control freak sometimes, and that ends up coming back to bite me. So I know that one area in which I could improve is to delegate that work. And I think sometimes there's a stigma with delegation because it seems like you're pawning off your work onto someone else, but it's actually a really great opportunity to help that person learn. Because if you have a task that you've done a million times and you know how to do it, but they've never done it before, it's actually a really great opportunity for them to learn how to do it and you to supervise them, and also takes work off of your plate. So it's kind of a win-win situation for everyone.
Yeah, it's a win for everyone. And both of you may be feeling different types of burnout, and you're effectively helping each other in that way.
Yes. Yeah, so if someone you're working with has under-challenged burnout and you have worn-out burnout, then you can actually solve the problem for both of you.
And I would say, as a manager, to help prevent worn-out burnout, another part of that is developers not feeling like they're accurately being acknowledged for the work they're doing, or they're being neglected for the work they're doing. At least as a back-end developer like myself, it's hard to get that recognition because clients like the front-end stuff like you do, Jake, they like to see the visuals, and they don't care how optimized I have my database query. To them, as long as it works, it works. But I may have spent a whole day doing that, and I love it. So I think as a manager, going back to talking to people on the project and asking how everyone's doing, trying to get like those little accomplishments and sharing that with others, sharing that with the team, or even just going up to the developer and being like, hey, I heard you solve this problem. Great job. Just that little bit of encouragement can really help motivate and prevent burnout.
You know, to be fair, we actually don't get a lot of recognition for what we do in the front end sometimes either. I think it happens with every development team. As long as the project works, well, that's what was expected. So
fair
recognition
enough, yeah.
Doesn't always come. But I know what I try to do is I try to reach out to the project managers involved in the project just to see how things are going, because I'm genuinely interested and sometimes concerned. And oftentimes, I would say more often than not, the project manager says, hey, so-and-so is doing a great job. They've been communicating. Everything is looking great. And that actually gives me something to go back to in my one-on-one with that person and say, hey, you know, I was just, you know, doing my routine rounds, and the project manager says you're doing an awesome job. The site's looking great. Keep up the awesome work. And that pat on the back goes a long way.
It definitely does. And from both the aspects of being a manager and a direct report, I've receive both ends of that, where like you, I've found out someone was doing a great job, and in our one-on-one I've raised that, and then in my own one-on-ones I've been praised for some of the hard work I've done, and it really does go a long way.
Mm-hmm. One other piece of bittersweet advice that I wish someone had given me a while ago is, sometimes if you don't necessarily feel you're being recognized for the work you're doing, that may actually be an all right thing, because typically in a fast-paced environment, no news is good news. Generally, if you have performance issues, then someone will let you know. But if everything is running smoothly, then you may not actually get recognized for it. And as unfortunate as that can be, obviously it feels nice to have a pat on the back. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Just keep in mind that you're doing your best work, and that's something for you to be proud of yourself for.
That makes me think of, it's the classic example of working in a customer service environment or with clients, where you only hear the bad things. They only raise their hands. In other jobs, when people do a great job, you know, at a hotel or something, to go to their manager and be like, hey, they did a great job. They really helped me out.
Right. It goes a long way. And it's well-deserved too.
Now, because I like to bring this up for our listeners who, again, may be working on their own, have a small team, ways to deal with worn-out burnout on your own is, again, to ask these questions to yourself. If you feel a large amount of stress, lack of control, take a step back and reprioritize the work you have to do and figure out a more timely manner to handle it and really compartmentalize that work. I think the smaller you can focus and the less you have to worry about, the less stress you'll feel.
Right. And I think sometimes you might be in a situation where you're up against a deadline that you can't move. And unfortunately, you might have to pull through and, you know, burn that oil a little bit more and run on steam. But it's a good learning opportunity, especially if you are a freelancer or if you work in a small team. It's an important thing to keep in mind what has worked for your projects as much as what hasn't worked for your projects. So the next time a project like this comes down the pipeline, you may be a little bit more conservative with the timeline.
Yeah, taking stock at the end of a project that maybe you've had to work extra long hours for, at the end having a retrospective and really nail down what worked and what did not work for that project and what caused the problem, so the next time it crops up, you can prevent it. I mean, the unfortunate reality is you can't always prevent burnout. It's going to happen. As long as it becomes the exception and not the rule is the most important part. So yeah, that's flipping your perspective again and just treating it as a learning experience.
The exception, not the rule. I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's what's very important about burnout.
All right, so worn out burnout from top to bottom. What say you, Mike?
Worn out burnout is when you're feeling like you're faced with a large amount of stress, lack of control with the work you have to do, lack of acknowledgement, feeling neglected.
Good ways to deal with it, delegation. Again, gives others the opportunity to learn something new if you've done it many times before. Something that's worth pointing out here is that we've talked about phonetic burnout, under challenge burnout, and worn out burnout. One of the ways to prevent them or deal with them is to ask for help. I think it's just important to point out that asking for help doesn't always feel like a heroic thing to do. But as a manager, I can say that I would prefer so much more that someone comes to me and says, hey, I'm in over my head, or hey, I have concerns about this, and raises that flag, because that shows to me that they are not overconfident. They're paying attention to the health of the project or themselves or their team.
Yeah, asking for help is not a defeat. That's the important thing to take away from that.
I think if anything, it's a strength. So one thing I think is worth talking about beyond these three types of burnouts is identifying burnout within yourself. Full disclosure, Mike and I have been talking about this episode for, you know, a week or two now, and Mike comes up to me today and he says, hey, Jake, you ready to record? And I said, I don't know if this is going to hurt us or help us, but I'm burnt out. I am burnt out. I have been working too hard. So we kind of use that as a jump off for this episode. As we mentioned earlier, if you question whether or not you're burnt out, you might be burnt out, but Mike has also found a really cool tool. You want to tell him about the tool?
Yeah, so I found this tool online, and we'll post a link to it in our show notes. It's on the website called mindtools.com. A little questionnaire, radio buttons, about 15 questions that you go through, and it tells you within a range how burned out you are, from not burned out at all to, whoa, you're very burned out. You need to deal something with it. So Jake, I asked you before the show to take this quiz. Were you able to do so?
I am burnt out officially.
Are you? Officially? So you're officially burned out. So little tools like this, they may not be 100% accurate, but they give you a good range to know if you're starting to get burned out or if you're burned out and to start to deal with it.
So we talked about phonetic burnout, under-challenged burnout, and worn-out burnout. The key takeaway here is whether you're trying to prevent it or whether you're already in it, one of the best things that you can do is ask for help. Don't try to be a hero.
Yep. Now that we've had a chance to talk about it, I know we haven't talked about your specific burnout, but some of the traits of being burned out, do you feel better actually talking about it and talking about these different things?
I do. This was actually really helpful. It doesn't always feel like there is someone who can understand how you're feeling. But the truth is, and I'm finding this right now, is that most people actually can understand how you're feeling. And sometimes it helps to vent. This was really helpful for me to just acknowledge that I'm burnt out and to talk my way through it. So I really appreciate you doing this episode.
I'm always happy to listen to you, Jake, and let you vent and just talk about things.
Good times, guys. All right. So Mike, you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, and I'd like to wrap it out by asking our listeners, how do you deal with burnout and how have you faced burnout, either from a development or a managerial perspective, things that you found that are effective and ways to treat it? The ways you can contact us with that is go to our website, developingop.com. You can find more information in our show notes for this episode there. Tweet at us at DevUp Podcast and let us know your thoughts on burnout, or just send us an email at hello@developingup.com. And we'd love to hear your perspectives and your continued thoughts on dealing with burnout.
I think that about does it.
Yeah. All right, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.